I want to say good evening to you and welcome you to the April 14th edition of our weekly news magazine. I'm Jack Hopke. And just like our afternoon news program, The World, we have a geo quiz for you tonight. You ready? Okay, it's a former plantation in the heart of New Orleans that hosts a collection of fine art, 600-year-old live oaks, music festivals, and over 11 million visitors each year. Of course, we're talking about City Park, which has generated some serious revenue since Hurricane Katrina. And on this week's Notes from New Orleans, we will speak with Bob Becker, the CEO of City Park, for this story of revitalization.
Every one of us has memories, some recent, some far off. There are memories of people, memories of events. But when it comes to memories of places, it seems there's one particular location in this city that strikes a chord in the heart of many New Orleanians.
Well, it didn't take me too long when I got to the park after 2001 to really discover that virtually everybody in the city had a memory of City Park. And, you know, they were mostly good memories, but memories nonetheless. And either you went for your first horseback ride, or your dad taught you how to fish there, or you learned how to play golf, or you went to the amusement park, or whatever it was, people had terrific memories.
That's Bob Becker, executive director of City Park. This Buffalo, New York native came here 40 years ago to join the city's urban planning staff and, like so many others, never left. In 2001, he took on another challenge. City Park, at 1,300 acres, is one of the largest public parks in the country and a site that, at the time, neither the city nor the state chose to claim.
The issue of who owns and who governs the park has always been a subject for discussion, but is actually fairly clear. The City of New Orleans owns the land in which the park sits, and the City Park Improvement Association has been vested with the authority by both the city and the state to operate and develop the park, and of course, since Hurricane Katrina, to recover the park.
Now, after 6 long years of quiet determination and serious hard work, the park has reached a new milestone.
Well, in early 2012, we have raised over $100 million for the park's recovery and restoration and implementation of the park's master plan. We decided early on, our board and our staff, that we were not just going to repair the park. We're not just going to fix the park because, frankly, a lot of the park had fallen into disrepair and it wasn't acceptable to fix it. So we decided we were going to fundamentally build a brand new park. So we looked around and decided we needed a plan to recover from and hit upon a plan that included first trying to clean up. And that was a big effort. Once we did that, then we tried to reopen some of the park's revenue-generating facilities. And actually, the first event that we did was Celebration in the Oaks, which we did right in December of 2005, which is an extremely emotional time for our staff and for people because it was one of the very first things to open after the hurricane, and it gave people someplace to go at Christmas time. It gave them someplace to go with their children and forget their personal issues and enjoy Christmas. And, of course, it also helped us because it helped raise money.
One thing we can say about Bob Becker and his board, they never gave up and they did think big. Simply returning to old memories was not their idea of progress.
We've come a long way. We are probably two-thirds of the way of reaching our goal. And we hope to finish the fundraising and finish the park's master plan by 2018, which is the 300th birthday of the city. And we always felt having a completely renovated park with new facilities and some of the old classic facilities that people had come to love would be a great gift to the people of this region on the city's 300th birthday. And while we're not there yet, we've made great progress towards it.
Now, new memories are being made at the park. Plans are in the work for a 36-hole miniature golf course and a second adult championship golf course, as well as a children's water park. It's all about the future. But every now and then, Bob can be forgiven for an occasional recollection of those post-Katrina successes he is especially proud of.
I think the tree planting program, we've planted over 4,000 trees to take the place of those that went down in the storm and subsequent damage. That was really special, too. And I actually think that opening Celebration right in Christmas of 2005 was really something very, very special for our staff in the community because we were fundamentally devastated and could hardly lay our hands on Christmas displays and lighting. And yet We had a huge volunteer effort of people who came out to get Celebration open and to see the looks on people's faces when they came there, really for the first time, maybe for some of them, first time they'd really even been out from damaged property or disrupted lives. That was a very emotional thing for me, something I will always remember.
For more information about City Park's plans for the future, go to wwno.org or nolavie.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.
Sharon Litwin is the former executive director of the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra and the co-founder of nolavie.com. And you're listening to All Things New Orleans for April 14th. If you tuned in late, if you want to hear something again, no problem. You can even share. Go to our website, wwno.org. Everything's archived right there for you. This is a very festive week in New Orleans, of course, and the celebrations will not stop with the final day of French Quarter Festival on Sunday, for on that same day, the city will see the arrival of an international fleet of naval vessels anchored, so to speak, by a U.S. Navy flotilla. Our city is privileged to open a three-year national celebration of the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812. It's Navy Week. It's a huge event, and we have its leader with us this evening.
I am very pleased to welcome a very special guest, Rear Admiral Anne Claire Phillips, who is the commander of Expeditionary Strike Group 2 to All Things New Orleans. Welcome, Admiral.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's a distinct honor to have you with us. We thank you very much for spending some time. Where are you based?
Expeditionary Strike Group 2 is actually based in Norfolk, Virginia.
Tell us a little bit about your command, what it is, what does it entail? About?
Well, it's pretty amazing group of ships and strike group capabilities, 14 amphibious ships, a beach group, which includes assault craft units, and a beach master unit, and two TACRONs, which are tactical air control squadrons. So it's the center of amphibious capability and expertise on the east coast of the United States, so for the Atlantic Fleet.
It's an important responsibility. It's a major command. You have come to this through broad experiences of almost 30 years in the Navy. You've worked command positions. You've worked staff positions. You've been an educator. You've commanded in rescue aid situations. You've commanded in tactical combat situations. This function that brings you to New Orleans sees you serving in somewhat of a public relations role, but also as a commander. Tell us about that.
Well, for this event this week, New Orleans Navy Week and the 1812 commemoration, I'm actually the operational commander of the events that are taking place here. So I'm in command of not only the ships that are here, but we're joined by 250 Marines from the 26th MEU in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, who will be a part of the events on WASP and will be a part of the Navy Week and part of the Commerce projects that will take place here.
And I think there's some Coast Guard involvement with this.
There's certainly Coast Guard involvement this week. The Eagle will be here. And a considerable amount of Coast Guard participation and support for executing this has gone on this week.
How do you come to this responsibility to talk to us about Navy Week?
Well, the Navy Week this year coincides with a very important event in the history of the Navy, which is the celebration of the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812. And the significance of the War of 1812 for the Navy is that it was really a pivotal event, not only for the nation, but in particular for the Navy, because at the time, the nation was struggling with what it meant to have a Navy and what it wanted to do with the Navy that it had. And during the course of the War of 1812, the Navy proved its worth in not only guaranteeing access, but free access to the sea lanes, to the global commons. And so that really, many things that took place during the War of 1812 for the Navy set us on the course to the Navy that you see today. So we're very interested this year, in particular, working with Navy Weeks across the country mostly in the East Coast, of supporting not only the Navy Week exposure to the Navy writ large, but also commemorating the War of 1812. Some of the Navy's most well-known or critical phrases, "Don't give up the ship," stems from the War of 1812. The reputation of the USS Constitution as "Old Ironsides" stems from her battle with the HMS Guerriere in the War of 1812. And in particular, in New Orleans, the War of 1812 is marked by an event that actually didn't occur until 1815, but the Battle of New Orleans, which was one of the pivotal battles of the war, certainly the most significant land battle of the war, and in great part aided by naval participation in stemming the British onslaught and once and for all ending the war. So very significant event took place here, and I should note that the War of 1812 events start this year in 2012 with a series of events up the east coast of the United States and into the Great Lakes region commemorating those battles. But they will continue through 2013, 14, and 15, and will actually end here in New Orleans where they start. With a 200th anniversary celebration in 1815, marking the Battle of New Orleans.
Let's talk about the celebrations that are going to take place between April 17th and 23rd. What's going to happen?
A lot of things are going to happen. The thing that will be most obvious to the public right from the start is the presence of Navy ships from the United States Navy and also from foreign navies. The lead ship will be USS Wasp, which is an LHD, an amphibious aircraft assault ship. She'll be unmistakable because she'll be berthed right downtown, right off the French Quarter. And she'll be accompanied by USS Mitcher, a guided missile destroyer, and USS DeWert, an Oliver Hazard Perry class frigate. And in addition to that, we will be joined by Coast Guard Cutter Eagle and a number of foreign ships and the two tall ships who are part of Operation Opsail, the Indonesian tall ship Deruchi and the Ecuadorian tall ship Guayas. So vast array of ships for the public to view, and there will be tour opportunities every day that we're here. And if they want to know more information about that, they should check out the a fabulous website that the city has put together, NOLANavyWeek.com. We'll give them information about the tours and other things that are available for them to see while we're here. We'll also have an air demonstration, which takes place the 21st and 22nd, Saturday and Sunday. It'll be over Lake Pontchartrain. The Blue Angels will be there, the Leapfrogs. And the Navy also will be very active in working within in the community, doing community relations projects, working with Orleans Hospital, St. Bernard's Parish, Hike for Katrina, Rain Tree, some work in City Park, City Year Program, and Boys Town. So there'll be a number of opportunities where the sailors from the ships will be out in the community working with the community of New Orleans.
I understand also, Admiral, that there have been local and regional partners that you've been working with in support of this activity. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yes, certainly. The city has put together an amazing and very supportive group to work this visit from the city's perspective, and that's headed by Mr. Mark Romig. And we've been working in very close concert with them to negotiate all the myriad of things that have to happen, in particular to make sure we're supporting the city where they need us to support them, particularly in regards to the community relations projects and also with regard to supporting air show visits, tours, so we can have as much exposure as possible to the people of New Orleans.
The gentleman to whom the Admiral is referring is, of course, Mark Romig, who is the CEO of the New Orleans Tourism Marketing Corporation. We thank you very much for visiting with us. We appreciate your support for the city of New Orleans, and we're looking very much forward to all of the events April 17th through 23rd. We've been talking today with Rear Admiral Ann Claire Phillips, the commander of Expeditionary Strike Group 2. Thank you very much. Again, we appreciate it, and we welcome you to New Orleans. Thanks for stopping up with WWNO.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Again, a reminder here, complete information about the Big Navy Week Celebration 2012 is available at www.nolanavyweek.com. You're tuned to 89.9 WWNO and our weekly All Things New Orleans broadcast. We're here every Thursday with you. And on the website, WWNO.org. Now, this past weekend, professional golfer Bubba Watson won the Masters in Augusta. Very prestigious victory for him. And his next competitive appearance on a golf course is coming up in 2 weeks here in New Orleans. Many will be watching. WWNO's Paul Mawson has more.
In a continuing string of big sporting events here in New Orleans, there's another one coming up. It is an annual event, though, here in New Orleans. It's the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. It's a world-class PGA event held at the TPC Golf Course in Avondale. And here to tell us more about it is Steve Worthy. He is CEO of the 4Kids Foundation. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Paul.
First of all, this is a big-time event. This is a big-time PGA event, the Zurich Classic. Give us an idea of how it shapes up on the PGA Tour.
Well, you know, as I've said locally, to try to give people a sense of the event and, you know, where it ranks in the world, in the hierarchy of things, you know, less than 40 times a year in the United States, the best players in the world get together to play golf. And we're blessed to have be able to host them here in New Orleans. So it's the best players in the world. Luke Donald, obviously, the number one player in the world. We're very proud to have him. Ernie Els has a long history. Bubba Watson's our defending champion. You got a lot of the young stars on tour. Keegan Bradley, who won the PGA Championship last year. Ricky Fowler, who's one of the most popular players on tour. Nick Watney, who's a past champion and a great player. It's a long list. We're going to have a very deep field. A lot of good players, a lot of guys who've won a lot of events.
And this is a big purse, $6.4 million purse. Is that right? I mean, in totality?
That is correct.
And the winner share is over $1 million. This will be on the Golf Channel. It's a big stop here for the PGA, isn't it?
It's the Golf Channel on Thursday, Friday. It's CBS on Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, I mean, we were talking about that earlier today with some folks. You know, the economic impact, the physical economic impact of the money that's being spent. UNO has done studies for us. It's between $35 and $40 million. But additionally, there's almost $20 million in national and international media coverage. You know, I mean, when you're seeing there's over 14 hours of live coverage, live broadcast TV, and the blimp shots, the vignettes they're doing on the restaurants and the food and fun and everything in New Orleans is almost like a big commercial. So it's a great opportunity to showcase the city.
The golfers like to come to New Orleans, don't they?
They do.
I've heard these stories, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the food, the fun. You know, it's a great city. People come year-round for a lot of great reasons. We want golf to be one of those reasons. We want to use all the things that the assets that we have here in New Orleans to attract the best players in the world.
And it's a spectator sport, too. How do people who want to, perhaps they've never been to a PGA event, what do they need to know to come out and check this out?
Well, people view golf tournaments different ways. Some want to perch in one spot and sit in a bleacher and watch all the groups come through. Some want to walk and follow their favorite player and can follow them for as long as they want. Got a lot of opportunities. There are daily and weekly tickets available. Daily tickets are $25 a day, or on site you can buy them. You can go to Rouse's in advance and buy a daily ticket for $20. So cost of entry is not bad. Then you've got options upward from there. Two of the very popular features, venues that we've got on site, our Acme Oyster House, which comes with all the food and beverage included. We've also got the Capital One Champions Club that has all food and beverage included. So from 20 up to 175, you can spend what you want. There's music after play. So when you buy a ticket Saturday and Sunday nights, there are concerts. So a lot of opportunities for those that might not be totally about watching Bubba Watson hit the golf ball. There's music and food and fun and other things that will help keep them entertained.
Now, I want to talk about this interesting relationship that the PGA has with the nonprofits. And you're CEO of the 4Kids Foundation, which is a great organization that serves children in 62 of the 64 parishes here in Louisiana. Talk about the relationship and how that works.
Well, it amazed me in my previous job before coming to this one that how many fairly avid golf fans don't understand that all of the proceeds from every PGA Tour event go to charity. When each tournament has a host organization like 4Kids that runs the event, collects all the money, puts on the event, and then grants money out to deserving charities within their area. The PGA Tour last year as a collective group, the entire group of tournaments raised over $120 million for charity, which is huge. I mean, obviously, they like to tout the fact that that's more than the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL gave combined to charity. So, you know, the PGA Tour tries to promote it, but when they're all about charity, it really is. I mean, all of the tournaments drive dollars back to the local community.
So they partner with the 4Kids Foundation here in New Orleans. And then the profits from it go to 4Kids, right? Is that how it works?
The profits come back to 4Kids, and then we have a grant-making process, and we give the money out to deserving charities throughout, you know, focused primarily on New Orleans. There's some in Baton Rouge, but it impacts, as you said, 62 of the 64 parishes in Louisiana.
Give us a quick idea. What kind of programs does 4Kids support?
Well, I mean, the Bayou District Foundation here in New Orleans is a great project. You know, Ochsner Medical, we do some programs with them. The First Tee of Greater New Orleans. You know, some of it is junior golf-related and golf-related. Other are, you know, whether it's summer camps, whether it's schools, you name it. But, you know, there's a lot more need than there are dollars that we have to give. And the dollars that we give out keep the doors open to a lot of these charities. So, you know, we want to continue to drive more and more dollars to have more impact in the area.
Now, this is the first year you're overseeing the golf tournament. Is that correct?
It is.
Have any idea what you signed up for?
I hope so. I was born in New Orleans. I grew up just outside Baton Rouge, so this was a chance for me to come home. Been in golf 25 years, have lived all over the country. I was the tournament director and tournament director of the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am, another tour event, and president of the Monterey Peninsula Foundation out in California. A great event, a unique event. But, you know, the chance to come home, you know, I didn't take it lightly. My heart said, come home, first chance you get. My head said, let's make sure we're making the right decision. But the 4Kids Foundation has a great history. There's a core group of very passionate, very committed individuals who want the best for the golf tournament. They care about the golf tournament. They care about having an impact on the community. And, you know, when I saw that, obviously the chance to come home was great. But these people who are as dedicated as they are to trying to improve the tournament in the city, and what I saw as a city, you know, I love New Orleans, I've always loved it. It seems to be headed in a very good direction, and I felt like there was a lot of upside for us to improve the golf tournament and have a bigger impact.
What's most rewarding for you about getting involved with this and helping to put this tournament together?
Well, you know, I've loved a lot of the golf events I've been a part of, the U.S. Open, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, but the chance to come home and, you know, we need to drive more national dollars. We need to, at the end of the event, generate more funds that are going to drive charitable for, you know, be a charitable force in this area. So if I can accomplish that, if we, and it's not I, it's we, there are a whole lot of people who put this on and make this happen. But if we can be successful doing that and see an impact into the city, that'll be the most rewarding for me.
Steve Worthy, he's CEO of the 4Kids Foundation. It's the Zurich Classic PGA Golf Tournament here in New Orleans, April 23rd. Through the 29th. Steve, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Thanks.
For more information about the Zurich Classic or to purchase tickets, visit ZurichGolfClassic.com. And that'll do it for our French Quarter Festival edition of All Things New Orleans. We welcome all our visitors to town. We here at WWNO hope you enjoy your stay very much. And we who work on this program here at WWNO include executive producer Paul Mossom, producer-editor Thomas Walsh, and myself. I'm Jack Hopke. A reminder that you can listen to our stories anytime at WWNO.org. Once again, thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you online and on the 21st.